This episode is sponsored by Corelation, where credit unions can get more in the core, as well as Allegiant, all-out innovation for credit unions. On the show today, we have Jody Kelly from Electronic Transactions Association, otherwise known as ETA, and Jody came on to talk about the future of currency, where we're moving in this world of payments, where it's getting faster, frictionless, contactless, it's connected to our biometric information, everything, even money, is programmable. Oh my gosh, fascinating stuff here from Jody, so check it out. And our topic here today, Jody, what you kind of threw out there was the future of currency. Oh my gosh, can this go like a million ways or what?
Yeah, at least a million, at least, yeah.
Oh my gosh. So I'll kind of boil it down here because you kind of gave me a subheadline here. Whether we're moving further and further to a world where payments are faster, frictionless, contactless, connected to our biometric information and everything, including money itself, it's all programmable. So super interesting stuff here. I think this conversation could go like easily 3 hours, Kelly, but we got about 15 minutes.
It could go for a good long time. I mean, there is so much innovation and this topic is so interesting. We'll try to focus it in, but you're right, big topic.
Well, I mean, let's kind of lay the foundation here. So what is the future of currency? Because we're hearing Bitcoin, we're hearing contactless, we're hearing all sorts of things. Is cash going to be around in, you know, 10 years, that type of stuff? So what, from your perspective, because you are on the front lines of this day in and day out. So what's the future of currency that you see right now?
Yeah. So I would say, kind of to boil it down, the future and in some ways the present, and we should talk about that, but a currency is clearly digital. Right, we live in a digital world, and as we talk about crypto, yeah, exactly, that's where we live. And so, as we talk about things like crypto and other digital currencies, I think it's important to remember that, like, money is already digital. Yeah. None of us are carrying around sacks of cash. In fact, I was looking through my wallet the other day for cash. I have none. I don't know the last time I had a dollar bill in my wallet. It's a reality that we're all experiencing, and yet we're engaging in commerce all the time, every day, and we're doing it digitally. So that in that sense, the future is now, right? Money is already digital and moves digitally. And so the question, and the really interesting question that you teed up, is how is that going to evolve? You know, what are the new form factors? What are the new products and services? How will it get faster and more frictionless and secure along with it? So what will that evolution look like?
Oh, it's going to be fascinating as all this continues to unfold, because we talked time and time again during the pandemic. How are things going to shake out after this kind of digital acceleration? So all of this has really sped up so much. I want to ask a question that's been on my mind a lot, and I actually brought it up in the opening. How much longer will cash be around, or will it be? I mean, is it going to disappear? And maybe even plastic too, for that matter. So, I mean, I don't know if you can get out your crystal ball. That might be kind of a too open-ended question here, but I mean, with just your perspective, how long is cash going to be around?
Yeah, I guess I would say I wish I had a crystal ball. But look, I think cash will not disappear in the short term. You know, there are people who prefer to use cash for a variety of reasons. And so I think it will continue to be, used as a payment mechanism and an important one. But I will say, during the pandemic, we saw the use of cash decline.
Oh yeah.
As we've talked about before, as people didn't want to touch things, they didn't want to touch something they perceived as, you know, having been touched by many other hands. Mm-hmm. And as people started experiencing digital payments, you know, moving from cash to digital payments, and liked the experience, found that it was easy, found that it was quick. Mm-hmm. You know, that trend, I think, will continue. So I think we will see, you know, a reduced use of cash over time as digital payments become even more frictionless and easy. But I guess I don't think it'll go away anytime in the near future.
Yeah, because I ask that because we're all getting so used to kind of the Venmo experience, the Zelle experience. So yeah, just kind of that person-to-person non-physical transaction. So it's getting easier and easier and almost expected now, right?
Absolutely. And to your point, for the kinds of transactions that people historically use cash, paying your babysitter, you know, paying the person who shovels your snow. You know, now everybody has P2P apps on their phone.
Yep.
It's rare that you use cash. It's certainly true for me. You know, I am either Venmoing or PayPaling those folks all the time.
Yeah. My wife, she's big on like kind of selling things online or like through Craigslist, or I think she's on Nextdoor or something like that. And so everything is Zelle driven. So, I mean, rarely is there a cash transaction. So,
absolutely.
I just watched that and go, oh my gosh, the evolution of it's happening right before our eyes.
So, it's happening right now and in ways that we don't even think about because it's become so commonplace.
Yeah. And I want to preface this. I'm going to bring it all full circle here to see how this is going to affect credit unions. But first I want to talk about kind of the big elephant in the room right now, cryptocurrency, because we're talking fast, frictionless, contactless, all those buzzwords, and cryptocurrency covers all of that. So is that here to stay? And are we, because I hear things like, I hear people from both sides of the aisle or both sides of the spectrum just like, oh, this is a big joke and it's not going to last. Others be like, hey, get used to it. It's here, that type of stuff. So what, from your perspective, what you're seeing out there?
So here's what I would say. So cryptocurrencies, and that's a big category,
we
can break it down a little bit, but that broad category, look, I think it is here to stay. People are interested in it, they're engaging with it, that has grown exponentially. And so I think it would be a mistake to write it off and say, it's a passing fad and it's going away. I think the interesting question is, how will it be used? How will those use cases evolve? Mm-hmm. Because as you said, there's a speed element to it. There are different ways it could evolve and different ways it's currently evolving. So if you think about Bitcoin, for example, Bitcoin was originally imagined as a payment mechanism. Mm-hmm. That's what it was designed originally to do. But it turned out it was not the best payment mechanism, in part because it's so volatile, right? And if you have... So it's not a great substitution for currency in that sense. If you're a business owner, you don't want to accept payment, in something that could be up 100% or down 100%, at the end of the day.
Yeah, right.
But that didn't mean Bitcoin failed. Quite the contrary. People started, acquiring and holding it and using it more as an investment. Mm-hmm. And that is the primary use case we see today. And so cryptocurrency or crypto assets are clearly here to stay.
Yeah.
I think the question is, what are people going to be doing with them? And how will those uses evolve over time?
Yeah, I remember when it hit me square in the eyes. I was in Singapore a few years ago for a conference, and I'm just kind of walking down the sidewalk, and you have all these kind of local businesses and things like that. And there was sign after sign after sign on the street saying, we accept Bitcoin, we accept crypto, we accept, the cryptos. I went, oh my gosh, this is a reality. This is here. So that's kind of when it hit me. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it's going to evolve differently in different places, I think. But, like in the US, for example, right now, when you cash in your Bitcoin, so if you want to use it to purchase, that's a taxable event. The way it's regulated now, it's as if you're selling a security, right? Mm-hmm. So if you realized a gain, you cash it in, then, you're taxed on the gain. And so people are going to behave differently given that regulatory environment than they might somewhere else.
Yeah. And I think banks and credit unions right now are still kind of grappling on how to handle this type of stuff, as are the regulators too. So that's going to be interesting how that shakes out.
Yes. And it's a hot topic in the regulatory arena right now. Chairman Gensler at the SEC has been talking about it very publicly recently. Treasury is currently studying it, and there's a discussion paper expected out soon. We're going to see a lot of activity in the regulatory space around crypto assets.
Yeah, 2022 should be an interesting year in that space for sure.
Undoubtedly.
Hey, let's talk about something equally as fascinating, and that's biometrics. This just fascinates. This is so science fiction to me, and I love it. because it's a reality now. So you talk about how currency will be connected to our biometric information. Can you expand on this a little bit? Are you talking about how Amazon and their new Whole Foods stores are, you can just walk in and walk out type of stuff, and the payment's just kind of seamless? Is that what you're talking about, or is it something else?
That's certainly a flavor of it, right? Okay. That's certainly actually a really good example. I think when you think about biometrics, and when you think about payments generally and the way all of these things we're talking about are evolving, they're driven by two things. One is customer experience. As you say, we all want things to be fast and easy and frictionless. We want to get in, we want to get out. We don't want to have to put in our information twice.
Yeah. Yes.
So a lot of it is driven by customer experience. The second and equally critical thing is security, right? You don't want money moving around quickly to the wrong people or getting in the wrong hands.
Oh, yeah.
And so for something to be successful, it has to be appealing to the customer and secure. And so biometrics has the capability of enabling both, right? It can, my phone has Face ID, and I use it all the time. It's like easy to get into apps. You know, if there are apps that have a payment component, you know, there's an, that gives an added level of security because, you know, they know it's me. So it's quick, easy, and secure. And I didn't realize how wed I was to it until we all started wearing masks and it couldn't recognize my face.
You're like, oh, no.
I was so frustrated. I was like, but you know, because it was, it does make my life easier. And so, so when you think about biometrics in this space, I think you think about how it it makes the experience quicker and more secure by verifying identity. And so the example you gave is like a good one, right? So Amazon is experimenting with these Amazon Go stores, and it's actually a blend of two technologies. So one is, you know, it doesn't have to be biometrically enabled, but it can be. So with a palm print, so it knows it's you, and you are connected to a payment mechanism. And then the other is just its ability to detect when you're taking things off the shelves and putting them in your cart. And the combination of those two things allows you to go in, grab what you need, and walk out. And so when you talk about frictionless and simple, you know, boy, that's a great example. Yeah. And as long as the biometrics are secure and you know, they're getting it right, you know, then everything works well. The right person is getting the right, you know, charged for the right things in an experience that's really positive for the customer.
And as you're talking, it just dawned on me. I remember this scene and remember that movie Minority Report with Tom Cruise, and he walked into the Gap. And it recognized him and it said, hey, it said his name and here's your size and and it started marketing all these different clothes and stuff to him. And, you know, and I just figure, okay, the payment mechanism can just go slide right in there as well. So that always comes back to me when people are talking about this stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great example. And, you know, that integration, that, you know, integrating payments into a broader customer experience that's tailored to them. And simple and easy for them. You know, that's the direction that all of this is headed because it's good for, you know, consumers.
Yeah. Like, and I'm so spoiled. Anytime I have to put in a password to get into my account or anything like that, I'm just like, what? Instead of doing a touch ID or a face, like a facial recognition, I'm like, I'm just really upset. So, but that's me being spoiled.
I can't remember them either.
Hey, so dovetailing from that thought, can you share with us your thoughts on everything, including money, how it'll be programmable? I find this a very fascinating angle here with this. So tell us about the programmable angle here.
Yeah. So when you think about programmability, when you're thinking about, you know, digitized money, it allows for a few different things. One is the ability to program allows for tailoring the use. So if you have a payment, if you have a government benefit, for example, that can only be used for certain things, if you're able to program, you know, that digital delivery of a dollar to only be spent on those things, right, then that just makes it easier to manage and administer that program and ensure that you're actually accomplishing what you're trying to accomplish. So that's like an example of ways in which programmable money could be used, and you can sort of see a pretty clear use case there.
Right.
Another one is accounts payable and receivable. So, you know, think about right now, you know, you sell me something, I send you money, you send me the thing, you know, there's like a series of messages going back and forth. And, you know, with programmable money and a programmable ecosystem more broadly, you could program so that when the thing is delivered, the money is automatically released because the money is programmed to release when it gets the signal that the thing has been delivered.
Gotcha.
And you can program it to have all the invoicing details go with it. So it just simplifies that accounts payable and receivable, which is actually a big pain point for businesses. You know, a lot of paper that currently moves around. You know, in a world where moving paper, you know, just seems increasingly anachronistic. So
archaic.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And there's some interesting conversations going around about, you know, machine to machine, where, you know, a drone could deliver something and that programmability could be built in. So, and the money automatically released. So where you, and again, it's like, how do you make this faster and more efficient while making sure that it's secure?
Yeah.
And so with that programmability, you know, there are, you know, questions about how you make sure that it's secure. and that the programming is done in a way that is, you know, ethical and appropriate, but a really interesting series of possibilities.
Yeah, I have that same experience with, there's a site called 99 Designs where you can hire graphic designers and they can do artwork and things like that. That's exactly the process that we go through once the design is approved. Right. You go through this confirmation. It's like just two clicks. Okay, here's the amount. Confirm it and then send payment and boom, and then release payment. And then that's it. There's right. No paperwork, no nothing. It's just boom, bang, boom, you're in and out. And you got your design, and the designer has his or her money, and it's great. And you're on to the next project. So it's exactly the same. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. 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 So, same idea. And just important and fun. Like when you think about the exactly. different ways that you could deploy it, yeah, I think that'll be an interesting evolution as we look at how that happens.
Indeed. All right. Final question for you here, because I know you probably have a busy, busy schedule, but I want to bring this full circle back to the financial institution or credit unions in this case. So where does the credit union or the financial institution fall in all of this in the future of currency? Because actually, it sounds like they're the hub in all of these spokes, it seems like. I don't know. Is that kind of what you envision, or is it something
Certainly, I think that's certainly a visual that helps depict this. So here's what I would say. You know, financial institutions, including credit unions, you know, they have a trusted space in the financial ecosystem for good reason, and some real competitive advantages, right? You have a customer base that knows you, that's engaged with you, and trusts you. I think when you look at, you know, the way, you know, payments and fintech is evolving, it really is a story of convergence and cooperation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was talking to some of our members the other day who sat in all different places in the ecosystem, including financial institutions. And to a person, they all agreed that, like, no one can go it alone, right? Yeah. There's just so much innovation happening. Yeah. There's so many companies that have unique, you know, pockets of expertise, so that quickly this ecosystem is evolving and is largely there to one of cooperation. And financial institutions play a really critical role. Mm-hmm. I think those companies, whether they're financial institutions or others, you know, that realize that and realize that, you know, this evolution is going to happen so quickly, and they need to lean into it, are going to thrive. And I'll give you a concrete example that, you know, open banking is a hot topic. Mm-hmm. You have folks who are coming in and aggregating data. You have financial institutions who are looking up and saying, we could do that, right? Like we start with the customer data. You know, we could flip this and you know, do it the other way. That's one small example of like many, many, many different configurations of players in the space. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a critically important role for financial institutions, including credit unions, and tons of opportunity to be seized.
Yeah, I think the challenge, though, is just staying on top of it. You know, it's just, oh my gosh, I just can't imagine. Your head is on a swivel seeing all this stuff happening. Oh my goodness.
Totally true. Yes, absolutely.
Well, cool. All right, Jody. Well, I'm going to let you get going. This was fabulous. You hit it out of the park once again. So thank you so much for that. Any final thoughts to wrap up? Any final words of wisdom here before we embark?
Before we go, yeah, I would just say, you know, just picking up on that last point and kind of encapsulating everything we talked about, you know, this ecosystem is innovating at breakneck speed, and it is not going to slow down. You know, that combination of technology and consumer demand, you know, it means that like every new product or service that gets rolled out is going to get gobbled up, and then people are going to be ready for the next one.
Right.
And it's an exciting area. You know, staying on top of it is quite a challenge, as you say. But like, hold on to your hats because there's a lot coming down the pipe.
And it's exciting. It's really exciting too. So, and like you said, it's actually kind of fun to see all this transforming. Yeah. So, and you're right there in the middle of it. So you're a lucky one. So good job.
I think so too. I love where we sit in this ecosystem. It's unbelievably fun and exciting.
Right on. All right, Jody, well, I'll let you get back to work. Appreciate the time as always. Look forward to the next chat. I think this is, like you said, this is only the beginning. We're just kind of scratching the surface here. So it's going to be really fun to see where this goes. So
Thank you for having me. It was great to talk to you again.
Oh, you're welcome. Likewise. Okay. Be well, be safe. Okay.
You too. Okay.
This episode is sponsored by Correlation, where credit unions can get more in the core. as well as Allegiant, all out innovation for credit unions.